For nature.
For the ocean.
For people.
For animals.
Hey, beautiful Science Planet community. Today we have, again, like always, a beautiful guest here in the Science Planet podcast. But today the podcast will be a little bit different because I made an interview with my podcast guest for today, but the audio was not so good because of internet connection problems. So Jarvis, my guest today, he sent me all the answers again. So I will ask the questions and will let Jarvis answer what he sent me in the voicemail so you can get to know him. Jarvis is an amazing person. Jarvis Ebua is his name. He's from Cameroon and he's one of the people. He is the founder of the Love Union organization in Cameroon. That's the organization we support with Sanos Planet and me personal as well with my own small association, Project Hope. And we support this organization to help funding 50 girls to go to school. So it means we pay the whole year of school for 50 girls, which is amazing because girls don't have the same possibilities like boys in many places. It's just not, it's not balanced, not fair. And we want to create this fairness with Sanos Planet too. So I will ask the question I sent Jarvis and he will answer with his voicemail. So today it's a little bit different. Well, the first question I asked Jarvis is, Jarvis, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Who are you and what are you doing?
I am called Ebua Jarvis Ebua. I'm the founder of Love Union, a non-governmental humanitarian organization. I am equally a human rights defender and activist. I belong to the Human Rights Defenders Cluster for the Northwest region of Cameroon. I am an environmental philosopher who has specialized on sustainability. And I'm one of those who believe that you fulfill your true mission in life only when you dedicate your life to the highest advantage of others. So I'm one of those who believe in coming to the help of the most vulnerable persons, those who cannot help or pay you back for your services. That is my philosophy in life.
And you are the founder of the Love Union. What is this organization about? What do you do there? And mainly, why is it so much necessary to do what you do?
Love Union is a broad-based organization that has as motto, a better life for a better humanity in a better environment. We are driven by the primary vision that the life we live can be better upon. And this life is not isolated, cannot be lived in an isolation, so to speak. We live in a brotherhood or in a sisterhood where we can generously share the resources that we have. And by so doing, we can nurture Mother Earth, as we want to put it in our own terms, because we believe it is due to injustice, it is due to misappropriation or the manipulation of the environment that sometimes causes poverty or that sometimes causes misery. For instance, pollution is unjust on its very nature, because it may be a grand technological company is exploiting minerals, why the local population where they are doing the mining are the one paying the price. It may be the rich or different countries are burning fossil fuel, why others are paying it by paying the price of pollution. And most of an environmental hazard do affect more but the poor, the underprivileged. We believe in a better life for a better humanity in a better environment. Because We are plagued by the dictatorship of capitalism, where all of us go out just to amass wealth for ourselves. And it is our conviction, and my conviction as person and as founder of Love Union, that we can share the little we have with each other. It is a shame if we see people dying of hunger while we are having affluence, or maybe why we are struggling to meet our wants. There are others who are dying because they lack basic needs like food. They lack basic needs even like education. They lack basic needs like to be able to pay for their medical bills. So Love Union goes out, first of all, to help those who are most vulnerable in the community, like girls in particular, who are in poor communities, and the poor that have been forgotten in our neighborhood. We want to alleviate poverty in general with the poor, those who are of age and they lack someone to care for them, for vulnerable youth, and for others. We do try to provide livelihood activities to them so that they can be able to provide food for themselves and for their respective families. So we empower them. We equally strive towards promoting biodiversity and combating climate change and preserving all forms of life that we have, be it as vegetation or as animals. We equally fight against illiteracy because we believe this is a fundamental cause of poverty. We try to empower indigenous persons and rural communities because we have realized that there is a connection between environmental hazards or climate change and poverty. For instance, it may be if the forest is overly exploited, that rural community or the community in question may one day become poor or may suffer due to climate change. As a result of climate change, they may be unable to continue with their indigenous activities, be it like farming, be it like fishing, or other things. So in most cases, as it has been our experiences here, poverty is linked somehow with climate change. So we cannot just help in fighting poverty and isolate, help maintaining biodiversity and combating climate change in general. So we are a broad-based organization because we do a number of things. We help even when it comes to things like providing water, we do provide water. Because if we do not provide clean or if we do not provide good water to the communities, they may end up drinking bad water and may so fall sick. And instead of them helping keeping their money, it may be to buy food or maybe to send children to school, they may now spend the money paying hospital bills. So for us, we believe in this holistic way of helping people. That explains why we have adopted as motto, a better life for a better humanity in a better environment.
How is the current situation in Cameroon? What are the biggest obstacles, the biggest problems people face there?
If I'm permitted to paint the situation that we face here in Cameroon, it will be important for us to note that Cameroon is facing two different crises. The very first one in which Cameroon is facing, like other countries in the world, is the COVID-19 pandemic, where people are at home, schools cannot function the way they are supposed to function, This is same too with the medic amadem with the health systems. This is true too with our economy, where we are experiencing a meltdown, so to speak. We know about the disaster that the COVID-19 has caused to supply chains in the world. But it is important for us to note here that Cameroon is a developing country. And this leads us to the second crisis that we are facing here in the country. And that's in the northwest and in the southwest regions of Cameroon. That's the English-speaking part of Cameroon, where we are having an armed conflict. This armed conflict, as they say, is as a result of 60 years marginalization of the English part of the country since they decided to join La République de Cameroon. And now, these two crises are somehow linked. These two crises, as per the COVID-19 pandemic and the Anglophone crisis or the armed conflict in the Anglophone regions of Cameroon. In the sense that following the barrier measures of COVID-19, those who were, that's the middle class persons, that's the average persons who have been doing business by hawking around, they are unable again to market their products since they cannot market them online. Given the fact that we have a poor network here and our technology is not yet up to standard to be able to do such things like online marketing fully here, then the common man does not have the Android phone. And still in business, there are hawkers who have been stopped from moving from one office to the other as they used to hawk or on major streets. Now, when it comes to education has become very much expensive because people are advised not to sit in classes that are above, let's say, 25, and gatherings above 50 are no longer permitted. So this has brought a meltdown when it comes to economy. And now we know about the difficulties we have with our supply chains. Most of the people we have here were peasant farmers. They find it difficult transporting their products and most especially exporting these products. Some of these products depended on the international market, so they are unable to market their products. So there is a general, meltdown. And talking about the Anglophone crisis, this crisis started as a result of the English-speaking part of the country talking about marginalization. So we already know that most of these people in this part of the English-speaking part of the country are the poor of the poor. There are people who are already very poor. So given the crisis and the COVID-19, you can just think about the situation. And now, with the armed conflict, most government schools have been banned and most government services are no longer that safe. Thus, the non-state armed groups have advised people to stop adhering to government services, which therefore forces everyone to depend on private services like schools. And these private schools are like schools that are owned by individuals that are maybe out mostly for profit making. These same schools are schools like confessional schools owned by denominations like churches. And now there is an overwhelming number. And for the denominations to be able to reach out to this large demand, they have increased the prices. Why an increase in price? To discourage many people from coming to school in the sense that they are struggling to put up structures, new structures, and there is no one funding them for these structures. So they are forced to add what we call PTA. PTA is an additional tuition that Cameroonians do pay or that we pay in this English part of the country to help them to build up infrastructures like chairs. And now, given COVID-19, Then this equally explains why school fees are very exorbitant this time around. And now then there is a higher population that in the urban part of the country where we find ourselves, like in Bamenda as the major city, and Boya and other cities in the English speaking part of the country, because people have run from the royal areas where the fighting is very much intense, more than what the media is reporting to some of you over there. Then the fighting is very much intense, and some of the services here, then some of the social services here are at the level of meltdown, like pipe-borne water. There is not then there is no more enough water to be able to sustain the population, so there is need for then for things like boreholes and other means of water that if NGOs should provide, we will very much appreciate, be it at the like in public places, like in churches, in schools, in our community leaders' compounds, like the quarterheads, traditional rulers and religious authorities. These are some neutral places that they do need boreholes that can supply water for them, for some persons. Then there is an encouragement when it comes to building of community schools. Then there is a high need of community schools, and now then the vulnerable persons, most especially the girls, they are unable to go to school because they don't have anyone to sponsor them, since these free schools that the government was offering are no longer safe for them to go to school, since some of those places are used by both non-state armed groups and the regular state army in fighting, or they have transformed some of these schools into their barracks. This is true for urban areas, and even for some of the urban areas, talk less of the royal areas, that some of these armed groups and some of the state militia has taken over these schools, and they are now serving as army barracks. So there is some then there is this difficulty when it comes to schools. And now with our health sector, there are some volunteers here, like nurses and medical doctors, that are providing medications, most especially to IDPs. But however, then there's a shortage of funds. And we know about this NGO, Doctors Without Borders, that they were in the Northwest region and in the Southwest regions, struggling to provide medication to those who are sick. Of recent, they were banned in the Northwest region, that's a year and some months ago. And presently in the Southwest region, they are under threat as well, because the state, then the government is accusing them of collaborating with separatists. So most of the population here is unable pay their medical bills or to be able to obtain health. So they all depend on volunteers. And some of these volunteers are normal persons who are from these regions, and they are unable to buy medication and reach out to them. And now we, like grassroots NGOs, we will even appreciate if others can come over here and help the grassroots NGOs as medical volunteers. But though we already have some volunteers here among us, but we do need medication. We need other social services, like there is a difficulty here with those who live from royal areas and they rush back to to cities or other urban areas like Bamenda. Then they don't have a place where they can first of all live and start up with their lives. And when they are exposed to living in open air, like along the roads, under the bridges, then they are exposed to risks like rape or stray bullets. So and some of them, due to the lockdowns, because here some of the days, like Mondays in the Northwest and Southwest regions, are declared as ghost town, where people are supposed to stay indoors. This has given rise to an increase in violence at home, most especially violence against women. So we do need, then there's an urgency when it comes to freeing to safe space and other places like child-friendly spaces, because this because our children at times are forced to be at home, and the way they are treated at home due to the fact that there are so many of them and they lack space to play and space that can keep them safe. Some of them are left at home with their maybe with elderly men who sometimes which at times it gives rise to rape. Then for them being raped and for them being exploited, then others are running from rural areas and running and coming to town for safety. When they equally come to town, then they are exposed to things like exploitation, that's child labor and other forms of exploitation of children. So it is better for us then we are in need of things like child-friendly spaces and other safe spaces for women, that they can come and rest and that they can come and be there for some time if they want to be there, or those who are, or due to the high influx of people from rural areas, that they can come and be there. And there is equally a need for us and urgency for us to begin these community schools like even in different neighborhoods. If we can at least offer them elementary education, we have people, then we have trained teachers who have abandoned their jobs, who were doing teaching at the private sector, but due to the fact that they are fighting the fighting is more intense in rural areas, they have run and they have come to the urban areas, and they can equally serve as volunteers. These are the main needs. But however, then other livelihood activities like empowering like the vulnerable, most especially women and other vulnerable youths, to begin businesses so that they can be able to raise some money and take good care of themselves and be able to pay their hospital bills and equally pay their fees and other people's fees. Then we will do appreciate. So I must underline that in the Northwest region and in the Southwest regions of Cameroon, the humanitarian situation there is very horrible, though it is underreported, so to speak. So we are in a humanitarian context where we need help, grassroots NGOs in particular, and other international NGOs.
How can people from outside of Cameroon help and support your organization?
One may ask how he or she can support us. Love Union is an organization that has diverse types of projects, given the intense need of our people at this given point in time. You can help us as an individual or as an organization to help provide borehole so that a particular community can have clean water. You can help us send children back to school, the vulnerable girls in particular, be it to primary school or the secondary school, and why not even the tertiary education for those who are willing to go. You can help them as in groups, you can help them as individuals. We equally welcome help from companies or from even associations. An individual can help us even with providing a meal for a family for a day, like the internally displaced persons or other vulnerable persons. You can help us even to treat a mentally challenged person. And we have the cases of those who resorted to drug abuse due to depression from the crisis, from the Anglophone crisis, from the Anglophone crisis. So we can help them. And a pressing need now, we are thinking of setting up orphanages in different communities, or what we call rest homes, a safe space. Like for those who are abused, be it those who are abused by it may be at their homes, or children who are running away from rural areas due to the intense nature of war there, most especially young boys, because they are killed. Then some of them are accused of being the non state armed groups, and most often then they are a target when a state military moves into these suburbs and realizes that there are some young people. At times they just target them, they just kill them without actually verifying. So we want to set up structures here in the urban areas where they can host them for some time and train them. So, and we equally have other projects, like in rural areas. We know of then the peasant farmers who have been carrying out shifting cultivation. And this practice is somehow a threat to our biodiversity, as they're burning down forests in order to use it as farmland. And there are other alternatives, like we wanted to empower some of these rural areas, since like for them to get into craft. It may be making of chairs, they're then from some natural bamboos and other things, so as to reduce the risk of them targeting the forest, be it like doing uncontrolled hunting, as it has been the case, because most of our rural areas here, then most of them are hunters, some of them are farmers. So we want to be able to kind of redirect them. And just by doing an empty advocacy, we have realized that it's not of help. And other cultures too, like those who are still having child marriage and families that and other girls, people do actually approach us, most especially as we started some of our projects, like helping send some girls to school, helping to provide food. So those who are internally displaced or those who lack food, at times we may just see them coming to our office or even coming to our individual homes, that we should help them out. We have people here who are unable to pay their medical bills. And there is actually no humanitarian organization that is centered with doing that, since the Doctors Without Borders left, since they were expelled by them by the government, not to intervene in this crisis again. So we need some of these services. So people can help us as individuals, then they can help us as groups. And it is our own vision too, to put up structures, since they have recommended community schools, to build our own schools in various areas, like in various towns here at the urban areas. We want to provide boreholes for drinking water. Then we are thinking of also enlarging that our scheme of always providing food to other vulnerable persons, and most especially on ghost towns and lockdown days, to the mentally challenged persons. They do not have a bank account, or they do not even cultivate food that can be preserved. So they eat directly from hand to mouth. So when there is a lockdown or if there's a ghost town, they are not too sure of even eating. And this has affected their attitude. We see people who are actually with a battle, who are battling with extreme poverty. So much so that to them at times, COVID-19 is a reality, but then the person will ask you, when he has money, he cannot afford a mask, so he prefers to buy just a cup of garri for for 100 francs and feed himself with, than buying a face mask for 100 francs. True enough, then the person knows that COVID-19 can kill him, but he's afraid of the hunger that can take his life at any time. So that has been the situation here. It is important for us to set up some of these things. And I must assure you that burnings continue here. Burnings by the regular state militia and burnings by the non-state armed groups. They are burning down people's houses and burning down people's businesses. So there is need for us to host some of these persons. If people can help us, be it with finance or some people over there, then if they have the courage, if they can come here as volunteers and help us as medical doctors or as nurses and help us here, it may be to teach our populations a threat. Then if people can come here and even volunteers as drivers, provided then we'll direct them on how to drive here and the nature of our roads, then we will really thank God for that. If people can come here even as to come and volunteers as teachers. So we are in a humanitarian crisis, I must say. So we need help from all fronts. I cannot be able to enumerate all of these areas that we need an intervention. You can never undermine how you help us. Even a meal, if you can provide an individual here with a meal, A dollar can provide an individual here with a meal, or even if you want to give $10, it can provide a family with a meal here, or if it is $100, anything is welcome. Even if you have something material, or for those who are capable, if they can build up a structure here that can save as a home for the internally displaced persons, or if you can pay rent for a month, for a family here, then we can really appreciate.
Jarvis, you see so much unfairness in this world. Do you always manage to keep hope? And if yes, how?
Talking about unfairness, there's a lot of unfairness in different dimensions. We have unfairness even to our environment and to animals. That's the cruel nature of hunting that is carried out in the rural areas of this part of the country, in which they hunt down everything, like all animals of different ages, different sizes, and even some of the ones that they are struggling to preserve. There is unfairness even with burning of the forest here by indigenous persons to continue their cultivation or as a hunting method, in which we keep on carrying out advocacy to educate them on these grounds. There is unfairness, like the extreme poverty that goes on. There are people who can barely provide a meal for themselves or for their families, and some of them die due to malnutrition and diseases related to malnutrition, which can be taken care of if all of us could come together in love to support such persons. So there's a lot of unfairness here. And given the nature of the armed conflict, there are people's houses that are burned down. This is a lot of injustice. There are people's businesses that are equally burned down and destroyed totally. People's source of income being destroyed. People's things seized away. People's things seized away. And people even killed. People are killed. Innocent souls are killed here every day. And some of them take risks in order to be able to provide food for themselves. So we dream for a more fair world, then a more fair world. It is our dream, and to restore hope to persons.
If someone says you can't make any difference, what is your answer to that?
Making a difference is not just a vain hope here for us. No, we are already making this difference. The way we carry out our humanitarian respond to persons and other services that we are providing, we are already getting feedback. And just the fact that we get people coming back to us, some of those who are coming back to us to ask for more help, some of them are new persons that we have never helped them before, it shows that there is already a lot of impact that is going on. And the touching part of it is most of these persons that we have already helped, be it the girls that we have provided them with funds to go to school, then the ones that we have empowered them by providing a livelihood activities for them, they have gone out as our organization ambassadors and they're helping others. There are other touching stories where we have come across persons that we have given out maybe food items to them, on following up how the food items are being used, only for us to realize that some of them have identified other most vulnerable persons and are helping. This is already a lot of satisfaction to us, I must tell you. And those who were sent away from school because they were unable to pay fees, and those who have been unable to go to school, they are a kind of inspiration to others. And for those who are coming here, and for some of the cases where they were being exploited, after helping and educating them and helping them not to be exploited again, they go back to tell others the story and to educate others that they're actually going through exploitation. So it shows that there is something that is happening, and we are very grateful for that, and most especially for our partners and for individuals who have been supporting us as far as that is concerned to realize such a vision. So we are very grateful when it comes to that, and we are determined as we hope that a difference can be made.
Do you want to share something else with the Sanus Planet community? What is your biggest message today, Jarvis?
I want to thank Sanus Planet for the great job that they have been doing in our community around the world, and most especially back here in Cameroon, as they have been supporting our vulnerable girls to go to school. We thank you so much for having that big heart to reach out to persons. If the world is to perish, if the world is to suffer, It is not so much because we are not great enough, or because we do not have the technology, or we are not rich enough. It is just because at one point we have decided to ignore. And Sanus Planet is making a difference by reaching out to others. What explain why a single child should be unable to attain education in this advanced era? It is just because maybe one person is not willing to support. What explain that people are still dying, most especially in our own society back here in Africa and in our country here in Cameroon, of diseases that can be taken care of? What explains why someone should go to bed the whole day without food? Why in another part of the world, others are throwing food, or others are going for luxurious goods that they want and not things that they really need? Always helping someone, it inspires love, it inspires hope. Paying someone's fee that you do not even know. That person can grow up to be a great scientist, to bring to solve a particular problem that the world is facing. What explains that some people among us here are killed by stray bullets because they do not even have a place to because they do not have shelter? What explains that mentally challenged persons in my own community are feeding from the dustbins because there is no one to treat them and there's no one to even give them food? I believe we can make a better world if all of us come together in love. We can unite ourselves and we can tear down the boundaries that keeps separating us, be it by race. There is no need for this differentiation of the too rich and the too poor. Hunger is killing many people in our community. Poverty is killing many people in our community. We are untamed the way we manage the environment and the way we throw dirt to the environment. There will be a day that the environment will fight back, and the environment is already fighting back if we do not stand up. So we can unite in love for our environment. We can unite in love for each other, and thereby we'll be able to make a better life for a better humanity in a better environment. Thank you so much for always helping. Thank you so much for always taking the challenge to reach out to others.
Thank you, Jarvis, for having been here for this podcast. Thank you so much for sharing your story. And thank you that you are one of the people we are able to support, because that means that you are doing a good job. Otherwise, we wouldn't support you. And thank you, Sanus Planet community, for listening to this podcast today. It was a bit different than normally, but I think it worked out quite well. Give us a like, make an abonnement, share us with your friends, and most of all, stay on track and inform yourself what the big possibilities are for you as a private person, as a company, as a business, as an organization to be part of Sanus Planet, because there are so many options. You can bring yourself in and be part of this beautiful project, and together we can change this world. We can create so much differences in this world to a positive one, and that's what I want to encourage you. So have fun, guys, and we see or we hear us next week. Bye.